248, which is page 249 to 250. Okay, in this chapter, these are like the roundup chapters.
Is this the beginning of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chapter 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, and 53
are the
wrap-up,
yes,
of Sefer Shalbeinani. And all the loose ends kind of get like tied up and some tangential points get, you know, taken care of. In this one, so we've been talking about this love of fear of God. He mentions many times the idea of you arouse the love of Hashem by meditating how Hashem fills all the worlds, encompasses all worlds. And so here he's going to focus on this, the idea of encompassing. What does the word encompass mean? One of the first rules in learning Chassidus and learning like anything about Kabbalah, when you learn about the spheres, so you have this expression, you have Oros and Kalim, which is translated, for lack of a better way, as Or is light and Kali is vessel.
Right.
It says when you start thinking Oros and Kalim, you're already thinking of pots full of water.
Right.
So the first thing that you have to, that any good Kabbalah teacher, Chassidus teacher is going to say, if we're talking Oros and Kalim, forget about pots and pans. The word keli we mentioned over here, keli is defined in Hebrew, the definition in Hebrew of a keli is anything that has a use is a keli. So the kelim are, so when you think keli, you think, you know, keli is like a cup. No, a hammer is a keli, a ladder is a keli, a board is a keli in Hebrew.
Pen.
Yeah, exactly. These are kelim because they have a use.
That's what we.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain whole parameters. Your body is a keli
for your sham.
But not thinking of like pots and pans. So the.
Would you say the walls are keli?
No, because it's connected to the ground. That's okay. What determines that. A house is not a keli, simply because it's real estate. So once you start connecting things to the ground, then they don't, like a tree is not a keli.
Okay.
You know, you could climb a tree, but you can't really use a tree. You can't use a house.
If I take lumber out of it?
If you make lumber out of it, yes. Now it's a keli, yes.
It's Muksan Shabbos while it's attached to it.
Yeah, that's it. So when you're thinking in these terms, so then the word encompassing doesn't mean encompass either, because encompass implies spatiality, and Hashem is not spatial.
Right.
He's going to zoom in on this expression of of encompassing in this chapter. So hini kasher yisbayin hamaska b'gedolus einsof baruch hu. When a person, that we've been talking about all the whole time, that a person has to meditate on the greatness of the infiniteness of Hashem. Ki kishmo kein hu. Because as his name is, that's how he is. If there's anything that's, you know, in Hebrew there, every word is descriptive, and we refer to Hashem as being einsof, is unlimited. And if you think about it, There are lots of things which are described as being unlimited, you know, or the expression, or like true. You can see, I'll talk about this later on at the end of the chapter. But Hashem is the only thing which is really, truly unlimited. Everything else has a starting point. Only Hashem has no starting point.
Correct.
So Hashem is the only true unlimited.
Right.
Who ain't so the ain't cause the tachlis klal. He is unlimited without limitations and at all. Lo'or b'chayat ha-mispashat amani yisborach v'ritzoyno ha-pashat ha-miyuchuda b'ahutz v'atzmosi yisborach v'tachas ha-yuchud. And therefore, and what the conclusion there is anything that Hashem does is also going to be infinite. And we're going to talk about later on when we get to Shayahud v'amuna that even Hashem's limitations are infinite. Because everything Hashem does is infinite.
Right.
We'll talk about that when we get to Shar Yochid Vamuna. Yeah. So everything that Hashem does is infinite.
What about like many levels of Tzimtzumim later? Do we?
How many levels of Tzimtzumim are there?
Infinite.
There's an infinite number of Tzimtzumim. Whatever Hashem does is infinite. If you got Hashem somewhere in the equation, then you're talking infinity.
Okay.
So there is then an infinite amount of Chayas, which is diffused or divulged from Hashem. And therefore, the anything which is going to be diffused from Hashem is also going to become infinite. The ilu, so that means that the godliness, the amount of godliness which is in this world has infinite characteristics. The ilu haisa histalshul sa'olus ma'orin z'boruchu belitzim tzumim. If it would be that Hashem would create a world without any contractions, meaning going from one level down to the next. Lo hayolam azeh nivra klal, kemei shehu ata. We wouldn't get this world. It becomes gvul tachlis. And he's going to talk about this. What are we talking about over here? The Alter Rebbe is basically saying that if you're learning Kabbalah, you should be learning Arizal Kabbalah more than Cordovarian Kabbalah. Where's the, there's a major difference in the philosophy between the two.
Okay.
The both of them say that the starting point is the infiniteness of Hashem and His essence and His being, and the end point in creation is our world. The Moshe Cordovero maintains that through an infinite number of steps, starting from point A, eventually you wind up at point B. The Arizal says there's a big problem with that.
Because
if you have an infiniteness, if you have Hashem's infinity and you cut it in half, you're still left with infinity.
Right.
And if you cut infinity in half an infinite number of times, you're still going to have infinity. So you're never going to wind up with a finite world. So therefore, the Arizal came up with something called, he calls it Simsum HaRishayim, or Briya Yesh Ma'ayin. These are terms that the Arizal used, which is the first Simsum, or the quantum leap. What was it that Hashem first did in the creation process? Is Hashem, the first step in creation, was to hide His infiniteness. And in so doing so, in hiding His infiniteness, revealed His finiteness. Because as Hashem is infinite, you cannot appreciate His finiteness. His finiteness gets shouted away, because any finite and within the presence of infinity loses its existence.
Right. Like light from the sun.
Yeah. So the finite, once you remove the finiteness, you remove the finiteness of it, if you remove Hashem's infiniteness, what will come revealed automatically is the finiteness that was always there. You had this phenomenon happened last week.
Okay. Say that statement again. If you remove
Hashem's infiniteness,
yes,
you will reveal Hashem's finiteness.
Let the Venus.
I was going to talk about the Venus Traverse. Okay.
Traverse. Right.
Okay. What happens is you have this little dot called Venus, and it's going across the sun. Okay. And someone tells you, this is not going to happen again for another 105 years. So what do? You run out and you stare up at the sun. Are you going to see
blind.
Venus?
No, you'll go blind.
No, you are not going to see Venus.
You're
going to
find
all.
A black spot. But
it's going to be in your retina. So what do? Is the Baruch Hashem, I learned with a guy who's a welder.
Yeah.
And so I had his welder's mask
right.
over there.
Okay, fine.
And even that was just a little bit too
dark.
It was too thin. It was just a little bit when looking at the sun. Seriously? Looking at the sun, it was still a little bit nice. So I put on my clip-on sunglasses over my glasses, and I had the welder's mask over that.
Yeah.
And then I looked through binoculars. Yeah. And then suddenly I could see, like, really exciting, a dot on the sun. Looked like a period.
It's almost the size of our planet.
It's the size of a planet. It's a little, how big is Venus? It's the biggest star that you see in the night,
Right.
But, in front of the sun. So,
daylight.
That's very impressive, actually saw where it, the time when you wanted to see the traverse is when it was, like, just at the surface of the sun, so that way the sunshine would shine through the atmosphere of Venus. So you saw a little dot with like a little halo around it, like super cool.
Okay.
So anyway, now if I were to look at the sun without the aid of the glasses, would Venus be there? Yeah, Venus would be there, but I wouldn't see it. It's only when I'm able to blacken the light, to take the light away, suddenly now. Da, 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 da. Oh, there's Venus. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking now about the infiniteness of Hashem, if you have the infiniteness of Hashem, you can't appreciate Hashem's finiteness. It's
overwhelmed.
It's overwhelmed by Hashem's finiteness, infiniteness.
It's a good example.
So when the Arizal said, what you have to do is Hashem removed His infinite revelation. And thus, automatically, there it is, ta-da, finiteness. Since everything Hashem does is infinite, so how big is Hashem's finiteness? Hashem's finiteness also happens to be infinite. But if you, it's a finite thing. And if you cut a finite thing in half, you get half of a finite thing.
Object, right, yeah.
It's a very large finite.
It's a very large finite, but that's when you have, now you have an infinite number of contractions and consignments. So now eventually in that process, you can come up with three dimensions. Now it's possible.
Interesting.
Okay, this was the Chiddush of the Arizal.
Okay.
So this is, he says over here that...
What did Cartavera say about it? Or did he know it?
They knew each other, so I don't think there was any...
They both lived in Sfat.
They were contemporary one to the other. Either I don't remember the exact dates. Either Moshe Cartavera outlived the Arizal, or he died like a couple of years just before him.
Oh. Arizal died young.
The Arizal died young, and the Moshe Cartavera was
like
an old man.
And he was there first, but he...
Moshe Cartavera was there first, yeah.
He was,
and he had already written Pardes, which is what this, right, this treatise
this is
that
Pardes.
Yeah, this, he had already written Pardes, which explains all these concepts of creation, and comes along the Arizal. There was no fighting between the two. He wasn't.
No,
Moshe Cordovero was not looking at him as like the young upstart on the block.
Right.
Okay. You know, so
that they actually looked up to the Arizal.
Of course. Okay. So therefore, now what can you have? You can have, he says, you have the world is limited. Ma'aris l'rakia, mahalach tuf kuf shana. From, this is the distance around the earth at the equator is a 500-year walk. And from the earth to the heaven is also a 500-year walk. And I'm not exactly sure what that means. Because there is a distance of how much a person can walk in 500 years. If you figure that a person can walk 40 kilometers a day, this is what the Talmud figures, is 40 kilometers a day, 6 days a week, you know, 52 weeks out of the year, and you come out how much a person can walk a year, and then you multiply that by 500, and that's how much a person can walk in 500 years.
Okay.
I'm taking the day off for Shabbos.
Yes, I'm
okay.
Sure.
Now, if you're walking straight up, which is how far is it? You're talking distances. It's not all that far.
It's not enough.
It's less than 250,000 miles, which is here from the Earth.
Right.
Here to the Moon. Okay, so I'm not exactly sure where you're talking about. And it's obviously then it's not a physical walking. And then between each heaven, between one heaven to the other, is another 500 years walk until finally you get to all the constellations. And you get to all the constellations, which are in like the third heaven or something like that. That's, you know, that's like 750,000 miles if you're talking walking.
Right. I don't know.
Mars is a lot further than that.
Yeah, sure.
It's 70 miles a day to walk around the Earth in 500 days. Oh, I didn't do the year.
It's
a lot less than that,
though.
I forgot. I did a year.
Yeah, okay. I mean, actually, the distance around the equator is only 24,000 miles. I mean,
yeah,
you know, so.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? That's even less than 500
25,
years.
25, that's right.
Yeah.
It's about a mile and a half a day would do it.
Yeah, okay.
This is a Jewish guy walking.
Okay.
Yeah, stop and work. So that might just work.
Kim is with all his friends.
Yeah, about two kilometers.
Get his picture in the paper every 10 miles.
So high.
Yes. Okay, that's what I think. 500 years.
Something long.
And then he starts getting out of the physical parameters. He's talking about Olam Gan Eden, the lower Gan Eden, the higher Gan Eden, Olam Haba, where the Tzaddikim live, and then it doesn't even need to be said, the angels. They're all limited. Now, I'm talking about angels.
They're all created.
Angels. When you're talking in Kabbalistic terms, angels kind of lose their importance.
Yeah.
When it says, you know, we say you have in Musaf the words that are, you know, the from the various Nevi'im, the various prophets that quote about angels. How we know about angels is from Yeshaya and Yeheskel. So you have this thing, I am Kaim Kaveda. The angels are yelling, where is Hashem's glory? Kaveda Mali Ares, the earth is filled with His glory. Why are they yelling, Barash Gadol, the Karim Zel Zev, you know, that they're with a great noise, they're yelling back and forth, is because angels, having an ethereal body containing no physicality, understand their neshamas. Mm. Okay, they have a certain... It's discussed in the Gemara. How big is an angel? And the answer is shlish oilam. Shlish oilam can mean three times the size of the world, one third of the size of the world. But angels are not spatial because they don't, they're not three-dimensional.
Right.
So how are you, when you talk about...
So how are you giving a volume at all?
So when you're talking three, when you're talking in these terms, when you're talking spirituality, you're talking about levels of godliness.
A quality.
A quality of it, yes.
Right.
But they, it says that they specifically they have a certain size body. Even if you're saying it's a spiritual sized body, that means they have a limitation. And they understand their neshama, because their neshama, they have a body, they also have a neshama. They understand that their neshama is coming from Elokus. They understand what godliness they have.
Okay.
And they also understand, just like we kind of like come to realize that there must be a whole lot more godliness than we can see, they also do, except they know what godliness they have. And they know there's more out there. And that's why they're yelling, hey, where's the rest of it? Okay, so the angels, the angels are saying, you know, the heavenly wills called tachas, says they're also limited. Kiyesh, we're turning the page. Kiyesh gvul lahasagos and borin sa baruchu. He says, what is their limitation? It says their limitation is in their comprehension. Angels are limited in their body because, for example, you have the Malach Mechoyel. Malach Mechoyel is referred to as the Archangel of Chesed, meaning that he has a certain parameters of Chesed, of kindness, and a certain ability of conveying a certain amount of kindness. And not Gevura. Gevura is Gevuriel.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's got, the Malachim have their limitations. They have their purposes. Well, and Rashi talks about this in Chumash with the angels that came to visit Avraham, how they each had their own specific purpose. Mm-hmm. Because one was an expression of kindness, another one was an expression of severity, another was an expression of Rachmanis, of the three angels. And they all had their own purpose. And they couldn't, you couldn't have Gavriel coming and telling Avraham, Sarah's, oh, by the way, on my way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Sarah's going to have a kid.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen because it's very limited. It's like kind of like unions, you know?
Ouch.
You can't get that plumber to fix that electric circuit. Nope, not happening.
That's a great analogy. What about the Metatron, the one that's got, I thought, more.
Depends on how you're
dimensions.
Asking, who you're asking. Okay,
chapter
good.
40,
but not a whole lot. What is it already?
Does he have three dimensions?
It's a, no.
Or three,
no,
not
no,
three dimensions.
It's,
like
it's no. Three it's described. It's described in that note that you're talking about. Is the yud is the head, and the hay, and the hay is the arms, and the vav is the body.
Right.
That doesn't sound like dimensions to me.
No, not
it's
dimensions.
It's an
like
expression.
Physical,
yeah, it's
like
an expression of yud and vav. Yud and hay and vav and hay is limited in being a creator. God is obviously much greater than that. Also. So you want to say Matad is the greatest malach that there is? It's still limited.
No question, limited. But that
so
was
that's
one.
That's the whole deal. Is what I'm going to say. Even that's limited. Lahasa goes and boring stuff. Even that has limited in the understanding of the infiniteness of Hashem. Hamor aleihem, which is illuminated in them, behi slabshus chabad. The difference is that the godliness there is behi slabshus, and he's going to use. The emphasis of this chapter is the difference between hislapshus and not hislapshus, which that's where we get into the expression of makif. Hislapshus is going to be, it's translated enclothed. And for our purposes and all intentions over here, we can translate enclothed to mean revealed.
Okay.
If you have godliness, which is mislabesh, that's memale, that's the godliness which is revealed in it. You know you have a neshama. How do you know you have a neshama? You're breathing. You're working. You're moving. You're doing. You're thinking. So you know something's doing it.
Right.
I mean, for lack of anything else, and you know you have a neshama. You feel life cursing through your veins and pulsing through your nerves. Okay. So you feel your neshama inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
You do. Okay. When you sit there and you're thinking about something to the point where you get a headache. Okay, so you know you have a soul within your body. Okay, the soul outside of your body is this for another time.
Yeah, okay.
That's why even the souls in the highest levels of Gan Eden, their comprehension, what they're benefiting from, is limited to how much they can withstand. That's why it said he described back in chapter 4, the explanation of the Pirkei Avos, Yafashach, the Chuvah Maizim Tovim, better is 1 hour in Chuvah Maizim Tovim in this world than the whole world to come. Because the whole world to come is merely just an array of understanding how much these great tzaddikim, which are divested of their bodies, can comprehend of the infiniteness of Hashem. Since it is that the soul is not infinite, it's true, it is the most sublime entity that there is. If you could draw a picture of a neshama, of a soul, it would look like Hashem, but it has a starting point, and therefore it's finite. And as great as it is, it can only withstand a finite amount of revelation. As we see, for example, the Jews at Har Sinai, not even Avihu in the Hakadosh Kedoshim. Okay, all these instances where there was too much godliness and the souls flipped out.
Overwhelmed, right?
Left
them. Okay, so, but when a person is doing a mitzvah, so they have the very essence of Hashem, because this is the will of Hashem, this mitzvah, and he talked about this in chapter 4 and in the late 30s over there from chapter 35 on. Okay, this is why this is a recap, and we're tying all the loose ends together in these chapters over here. So there you're grasping the Hashem's entirety by putting a quarter in a pushka, like we said last week.
Yeah.
Because it would be impossible for any entity to appreciate Hashem's infiniteness and not become and not lose its existence. V'yachsulamakarim would totally and completely flip out and dissolve out of existence. How actually this creation process works, he just wants to let you know we're going to leave it for another time. Okay, and the detailed process of it, and there are Maimorim and Likutei Torah, Maimorim from the Alter Rebbe, and they're discussed by the various ensuing Rebbes about how Seder Estal Shalus works. And if he's saying it's not the time, then I'm not going to go into it either.
It's not later in the Tanya either.
It's not discussed a bit, not like this. It's discussed a bit how the creation process works in the next section, Shar Yechad Vamuna, and again in Simen Chaf and Ageras HaKadosh. Mm-hmm. He talks about the creation process. Achderech Klal, generally speaking, Hein Emuchinus HaHester VaHelem, Hamshachas HaOr VaChaya Shelo Yar VaYumshach LaTachtenu Emuchinus Gila LaHislavish VaShpia VaHem LaHayes Emuchinus LaLias Yayim Yishmaayin. Generally what it is you have a concealment of this drawing down of the godliness and the light so that it should not be illuminating and drawn into us terrestrial existences in a revealed way to enclose in us and to have an effect on them, to enliven them something for nothing. It says, we're not getting it full-fledged. How did we get here? You know, our goal is with three dimensions.
Right.
So in order to have three dimensions, infinity gets kind of like put on the side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's to the point now where physicists, it's gone out of the hands of the mathematicians already, it's now in the hands of the physicists who believe that our physical world is comprised of 10 dimensions.
Some say 26.
And 7 of them are folded underneath so that all you see is 3. But there really are 10, and they usually put a whole big, huge mathematical equation on a blackboard, and will show you how there are in actuality. There has to be. It can't work any other way.
Is that a street theory?
It has to. No, this is just the existence of the physical world.
Okay.
And that there has to be 10 dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, in our own physical world, and that's talking physical. In our own physical world, we don't see 70% of our existence, according to the physicists.
Right.
Ki'im at mizer ur v'chayas b'chvaydei. There's just a little bit of Hashem's light comes in and is enclosed in the world. We call that life. B'chdei shi'i b'chin is gvul v'tachlis. Just enough to bring physical limitations into existence. So how much godliness is there in the entire universe? Yeah, 13 billion light years worth, with all the stuff in it. Very small. 13 billion is a very small number.
Indeed it is.
No, it's only it's less than 10 to the 30th.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a minor.
Yeah,
not,
you know.
Not even a Google.
V'tachlis. This is just such a little bit of godliness that's enlivening our world. Compare comparable to infinity, it's not even worth talking about. What's enlivening this world in the infiniteness of Hashem has no points of comparability whatsoever. Which is why when we start to getting into these ethereal concepts, it becomes so hard to give a mushel, an example for it. Because any example you're going to come up with
is physical.
Is limited to three dimensions.
Right, it's physical.
And we don't even see the other seven dimensions that we didn't see.
Right.
And we're trying to convey something which is non-dimensional through our three-dimensional example. It's going to be really tough. Okay? As is now, I was talking with somebody, and my wife was commenting, my wife is an artist, they were talking about nothing, you know, and the person saying, I've got all this nothing, and someone saying, you've got so much nothing, I want some of it. So how do you go about dividing up nothing? That's when you do like 1/0 on your calculator, you get an error message, because the answer really is infinity. 1/0 is infinite.
It's not
right.
No. It's not
zero is a concept, it's not a number. Just like infinity is a concept. You can't do math with it.
Correct. You can't do anything with it. It's 1/0, you're not going to get anything. Because how much nothing do you have in your pocket? I have an infinite number, I have an infinite amount of nothing in my pocket. Okay? But I can't give you half of it. I mean, you could say, I also have nothing in my pocket.
I can give you all of it.
Yeah, so.
But you'll never know it.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, so she wants to, she's thinking about how do you draw a picture of that? People sitting around a room trying to divide nothing. Since there's nothing there, so then you get none of it.
Right.
So you can't have any of it.
Right.
So. It might make an interesting New Yorker cover, you know, so anyway. Kenayda Pirish, Milas Erech Misperam, She'achad B'Misper Yesh Le'erech Le'gavi Misper Elef Alafim. Let me talking about ratios, for example. So 1 and 100,000 have comparability.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the Elef Alafim and 1 in millions has points of comparability.
Mm-hmm.
But 1 to infinity, even you can, though you could write that on a board, 1, and an infinity sign, it means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
It's
finite and infinite.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
It's the point of comparison between 1 and infinity. There's no point in comparison. Okay, even though infinity does have an inverse 1/infinity, but I don't know how that works either.
Well, the idea that is from nothing to one is infinite too.
Correct. So there is an infinite number of fractions, and so there is a point, there is a 1-to-1 point of comparability, and people who are involved in set theories will talk about 1/infinity and its relationships to infinity. Okay, because you're right, there are an infinite number of fractions between 0 and 1.
But that's finite because it's...
Correct, it's only between, it's only up to 1.
Because it has a beginning.
Correct, and an end.
Right.
Correct.
Right. It's the revealed finiteness.
Correct. Shafil Elef Alafim, Riva Revavis, Ein Vavachinus Erechim Mispar Echad Legavi Elef Alafim, Riva Revavis, Ela Kalom Mamish Chashivi. It's not even 1 in 1,000,000, 1 in 10,000,000, whatever number you could come up with.
Google
it's Kalai Chashiv. Okay, and we talked about this before. I don't remember which chapter was it we talked about it. This idea of incomparability. When we talk about, for example, I think we talked about this back in chapter 20, 21, 22, somewhere around there. The point of incomparability. You have Bill Gates is worth $40 billion. Okay, is he still the richest man in the world after Zuckerberg now? Got all that, whatever he walked away with? Anyway, I'm not counting either one of his money. Okay, now, Bill Gates is worth $40 billion. He's walking down the steps to his, from his palatial mansion over there in just outside of Seattle for his waiting limo to take him to his private 747. And on the steps, he sees a penny.
Right.
Does he get all excited, picks it up, and says, "Yes, I found a penny"?
No.
I certainly hope not. But is that penny absolutely worthless to Bill Gates? The answer is no, because $40 billion is 1 times 4 times 10 to 1 times 10 to 4 to the 4 to the 16th. Okay.
15th.
Which is not a whole lot of numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not infinite. That's the point of comparability. What about a drop of water compared to all the water in the world? Okay, you could. There, you, it's still. It's a. You're gonna get a big number.
Still, right?
Okay, you can measure. You can measure the volume. You can measure the volume of the world, and measure the volume of this drop.
Right.
And you'll come up with a point of comparison because all the water in the world is made up of like drops.
Right.
Eventually, you'll get from this one drop, and you add more, another one, same size, same size, same size. You're gonna get the ocean. When we say that there's no point of comparability, and that everything in the world and everything that is created is like nothing to Hashem, what does that mean? That if you were to take an infinite number of creations and compare them to Hashem, the whole thing would still be infinitesimally small. Infinitesimally small. It would still have no point of comparability.
Small is a relative term. That
correct.
Small.
There's no point of comparability at all. If you were to create a million, an infinite number of universes, compared to Hashem, they would still not exist. Because there's no way to compare something which is infinite to something which is finite. You have a question, Mark?
No, I'm just
blown away. Yes.
Well, they're all creations of Hashem, so they are. They can't be compared to the Creator.
If you put them in the terms of Creator and created, then you kind of get sort of like into the mistake that the Greeks made.
I'm thinking of ex nihilo creation, not
Greek creation. In chapter 2. So, yeah. Okay, we'll talk about this when we get to chapter 2 of Shariachet V'Amuna. So too it is. With this minor amount of godliness, which is enclothes itself, and we want to translate the word enclothes itself now to mean reveals itself.
Yeah.
In these worlds, right. The higher worlds, the lower worlds, lahashpia behem, lahachayosim legavi erech or haganas venelam shubuhinis ainsif, that this is hidden in this world and it causes things to exist. And to compare that to the godliness, which is infinite, the animus labis and mashpia lamaitbuhinis gil lahachayosim, which is not revealed in the world to enliven them, elamaki phalayim and mylam inikrasavu kolomim. And it only encompasses the world from above, and we call that Soviv Kolomi. Just as it is that, this is one of those disclaimers, just as it is that when you're talking artists and kaling, you shouldn't be thinking about pots and pans full of water, so too also when you're talking about Memale and Soviv, you shouldn't be using the terms, or translating it as fills and surrounds and encompasses. Even though if you look in the English, and he says this is called, encompasses of all worlds. He uses that word.
Right.
How do I know the word that makiv means encompass? This is whoever taught me Tanya the first time, way back when. His English, his command of the English language was basically looking at, so what does this word soviv mean? Looking over at the English and saying, oh, encompasses. Good, got it. Okay? But the word soviv, yes, if I can be misoviv you, I can walk around you. You know, you do have this thing on Hanukkah that you play with, it's called a sivivon, because it goes around and around and around. So yes, that's true. But that's about it as far as this term goes. Mislabish translate as revealed. That's the mamali, the panimi. It's the godliness which is revealed. And makif is going to be the godliness which is not revealed. But that doesn't mean that it's not there. Where is the or makif? Is not out there surrounding us. It's within us.
It's in the same thing. It's the same place.
Yeah, and hacking this idea around with someone today, the idea came up of, he asked me, he said, Mamali would be the water in the bucket. And the makif would be the ocean around the bucket. And I said, well, that's partially true, except for one thing. The way that we have to draw the paradigm is that the infinite ocean is inside the bucket. But the only amount of water that you see in the bucket is how much water the bucket can hold.
You have to walk like the Well of Miriam. Kind
yeah, yeah. So you have, put it into, get out of that paradigm altogether. You understand? It's like, it's an impossibility to think about it. How could you stick an infinite ocean inside a bucket and not see it? It's like, you know, it's just, it's not going there. But that basically is the paradigm. That when you're talking makif, makif is here. It's in, it's within us. Just as much as the panimi is within us. But what's the difference? The panimi we see, and the makif is too great to be seen. And he's going to give an example of it.
It's the finiteness revealed within the infinite. The infinite.
It's the infiniteness, which is not revealed within the finiteness.
Exactly.
But it's still there.
Same thing, yeah.
It's still there.
Right.
He says right away, we're giving you a disclaimer. When we use the word soivev and makif, which is encompassing and surrounding, from it doesn't mean from above in a spatial sense, chas v'shalom.
Right.
Because when you're talking spirituality, you lose through your dimensions. Above is relative only if you've got something which is limited to being below. You can only have an above if you have a below. And in spirituality, there's no such thing as below and above. The best you could get is you have higher revelations and lesser revelations. But there, up and down, is determined by more revelation and less revelation.
More and less, yeah.
Okay, greater intensity, lesser intensity. Lesser intensity revelation we're going to call lower.
Yeah.
And greater intensity revelation we're going to call higher.
Right. But they're not directional, they're spatial.
Yes, they're not directional or spatial. They're talking about levels of godliness.
Right.
What does he mean? When it says that something, you say the godliness is encompasses all worlds. We're talking about revelation. The godliness, the godly influence which comes into the world, and you know about it, that we call hislabshus, enclosed. The thing about your clothes is they have to fit you. If your clothes are too small, you can't walk out of the house with clothes that are too small. It's not going to work. Okay, likewise also, if your clothes are way too big, you're going to fall out of them. You're going to trip over them. Your clothes have to fit you. And we use the word enclosed, so you have clothes make a man. Your impression of a person is looking at this person is what is this person wearing? You know, if you see a guy wearing a tuxedo, you think either one of two things. Either he's a waiter, or he's, you know, in some kind of hobnob big wig going to some kind of fancy ball. Okay? If you see a guy in coveralls full of grease, you know, this guy's a mechanic. Okay, the guy wearing the tuxedo is not going to be underneath the car. You wouldn't expect the guy to, you know, pull into a gas station and you see the guy greasing the underside of a car wearing a tuxedo.
Right.
Okay, you might see a guy in coveralls at a ball. I mean, yeah. You know, but that's, yeah.
That's in Arkansas.
You're a Texan. Okay, we went. No. State rivalries over
yeah,
there.
Did you
mean to say, because you're from the eastern side. Had you been from the western side, you would have said Oklahoma. Okay.
That's where that car was going to Texas. It never came.
Ellis, save from Michael Malachi, and Lamal Lunas, yes, he's lapshus. Shemis labeshus, be'olamais. It encloses itself in the world. Ki hei malbishim umasigim hashposher mekablim. That they receive this godliness and convey it, and we understand there's certain amounts of life and energy in the world. Anytime you're going to use the word energy, what's energy? Energy we're going to call godliness. Which is not the case if you can't see it. And we're not even talking about the seven dimensions that are supposedly here, because that's also really, technically speaking, that's also mala.
Yeah, that's mala.
the seven dimensions that are folded into the three, technically speaking, would also be considered memale, because it's within us, and that's what's defining. Those seven help define the three. We're not really aware that when we're looking at three dimensions, we're actually are looking at ten. Because all we have been taught how to measure is a length, a width, and a breadth. Right. We haven't been taught how to recognize the other seven. But those are also memale. So we're talking about now going beyond the dimensions. It's not mislavish. Ela behester vehelem. It's concealed and hidden. Ve'ein ha'ulos masigim oisai. You're not going to be able to come up with a formula to come up with makiv. The seven dimensions, they sat down and they sat with a formula. You know, certain things that don't make any sense how they work in the physical world. So therefore, we have to find some other paradigm to explain the phenomena that we're observing. And therefore, we conclude that this phenomena could only occur if we have more than three dimensions. That's how they came up with it. And then he started doing the mathematics and coming up with the conclusion, oh, there's another seven. Makif, you're not going to say anything. You know, this doesn't work. There must be a makif. Makif means we don't know about it. There's no way to put a makif on the on a board, however big your board is. Yeah. You need an infinite board. Yeah, it's interesting. There are all kinds of paradigms now going back to, I think things are cyclical. So there's a lot of science fiction stuff that's being written about it, and it's all paralleling what's going on in science today. Going back to Euclides and the Pythagoreans, who believed that the world is comprised of numbers. What was the first thing that existed? So they believe the first thing that existed was numbers. Like we believe the first thing that existed was letters. The alphabet. So they instead of saying calling it L, so they're gonna call it numbers. Okay? So if that be the case, and if the first existence was numbers, then there must be some number which contains all the energy of the world. Okay, and all of these science fiction stuff that I've been seeing that flies across my computer that I take a look at and laugh at, and if you could figure out what that number, ooh, would you be powerful? You'd be able to control the universe. Okay, never going to happen. Okay, let's say it is true that the Greeks got it right, that the gematrias of those letters figure into the creation process. And when it says Vayehi Or, and they were able to do some kind of something over there and come up with some kind of number, something going on. But it takes an infinite number of steps to get from Vayehi Or down to the actual light. So if you want to assign a number to it, okay, no, so now what? Okay, but you're never going to be able to assign that number because that number is Makif. It's not revealed to us.
Right.
And it mislabesh is because it's not, if it's makif, it's not mislabesh.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
If it's not revealed, it can't be revealed.
Correct.
Because if it was revealed, then it wouldn't be not revealed.
It's like it doesn't exist to us because we're limited.
That's what he wants to say. It does exist.
Well, we know it exists.
It does exist, but we can't see it. We're not privileged to it.
Can't get there from here.
You can't get there from here. Since it is that the worlds are limited, so then what is it that has to be, how much godliness could be contained in the world so that we do appreciate it? Little tiny bit. Just enough to keep us existing in three dimensions. And he's going to talk, for example, like a rock. How much godliness does it take to make a rock? A really little bit, such that we don't even see any energy looking at it the naked eye.
There's no animation.
If you look under a heavy microscope, okay, you'll be able to see electrons spinning around the nuclei. And thus by implying, oh, there must be life in this rock.
Right.
Okay, but it's very little bit of life.
I can split the atoms in a rock. I can destroy the universe.
Indeed. Aval ikar ha'or v'lit simsum kol kach nikar makif asoviv. The godliness which encompasses the world, which you're calling encompasses, is not... Okay, let's start with this backwards. The godliness which doesn't go gets contracted so much and is not so contained, and we don't appreciate it, we'll call that makif. Because we're limited and comparable to us, it's not. And in our world, there is nothing which is infinite. And there's nothing that can convey infinity. And if you tell me, if you're using any kind of system, is it really infinity? It's not really infinity. But if we want to put the infinite, we're going to say that it's Hashem's infiniteness in an adjectival form. So, tilt, we shut off. As soon as you apply anything, the word infinity, to anything, even if it's only comparable infinity, not a true infinity, we shut down.
Yeah.
What's the example for this? Okay, we gave the example of the infinite ocean inside the bucket. Okay, but that really is a ridiculous example, because it talks about in the Talmud, in the Gemara, that a person can never dream of an elephant squeezing through a pinhole. You can't even imagine such a thing happening.
Right.
Okay, because an elephant can't, you know, there's lots of things you could imagine. I don't know, with maybe computer graphics, maybe we can have this thing becoming fluid and slipping through and coming out as an elephant on the other side.
Yeah.
Right at that
we
point.
We think it's an alien.
Yes. It would just be
a
plate of spaghetti and meatballs, yes. Anyway.
Right.
Well, Meshable Zah, he gives an example. Hu ha'aris ha'lazu ha'gashmi is afshar mali kol ha'aris kavayidei. So it says, you look at the world, that Hashem fills all the world with His glory. We have a pasuk that says, don't I fill all the heavens and the earth, says Hashem? Look, I do fill them all. So the glory of Hashem is here. There is infinite amount. The godliness that we have in this world still maintains that infinite quality. You know, they were really worried before Hiroshima that it's going to set off a chain reaction in the atmosphere.
Right.
And every hydrogen atom in the atmosphere is going to get pulled into the chain reaction.
Right.
And there's going to be this nuclear holocaust and the whole world is going to get destroyed.
Right.
They had that concern. Just like they had the concern when they're going to flip the switch on CERN, that all those spinning electrons over there were going to create a black hole,
right,
and the whole entire universe is going to get sucked into Sweden,
yes,
into Switzerland.
Perfect idea,
yes.
Yes. I didn't realize we had such awesome power.
It didn't happen.
GE.
Yes.
We breathe things to dark.
Okay. Afal pi kein emes lavish besechem bechinas giloy hashpa. Rak chai is maat mezor. Mezor bechinas tzameach v'damim tzameach levad. It says it's only just a little bit amount of godliness that comes down here. It maintains its infinite quality. And an example for that, which we didn't have back then, would be electricity.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
If you take your, you have the thing that you plug your phone into.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as far as I know, there's only 6 volts coming out of there. Okay. And where did this 6 volts come from? We're going to say, as being living in Michigan, it was probably spun off of Fermi 2 at 50,000 volts.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so you can say, oh, it's only 6 volts. And this three, if you plug your car charger into the wall and you stick your tongue on the other end of it, what's going to happen? It's going to hurt.
6 volts.
It's going to hurt. You're going to get a bite.
You're going to tangle.
Yeah.
Volts aren't electricity, amps.
Understood. Okay, you're gonna get a bite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not much.
I wouldn't suggest chewing on an electric cord when it's plugged in, no matter what
size. 115.
Not what size, no matter what size of the transformer it's on.
Right. Right.
Okay. Because electricity maintains its intrinsic quality of being electricity, regardless of how intense it is. The only difference between 50,000 and 6 is 490,994.
Well, there's a question of push.
Okay.
That's called
voltage is push.
Right.
So, yeah.
Push. Okay, so, but the electricity, what the electricity is, which scientists have yet to define, maintains its integrity.
That's why electricity is a good example, because you could be on a tower.
They're looking for you.
So you could be on a 50,000 volt tower, and as long as you're not grounded.
About this makiv, okay, so it's here. But it doesn't, it's not revealed. There's only just a little bit of godliness which is revealed in the plant and the inanimate. The godliness is encompassing it, meaning it's there, but it's not revealed. And believe it or not, there's the same amount of godliness in a rock as there is in a human being. That's why it's called Sovi, because we can't see the revelation. And once you can't see it already, well, it's all equal as far as we're concerned. Even though it's in it, hence the example of the infinite ocean inside the bucket. So how does the Makif affect us, though? Is the revelation still a revelation? Yes, the revelation is still a revelation, even though you can't see it. The tree falling in the woods, making a sound even though you didn't hear it? Yes, it's still making a sound. So the godliness, which is the makif, which is this godliness, which is too high for us to appreciate, does affect us directly. Like we see, for example, you have the expression, and we talked about this before, with the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel first gets visited upon prophecy, and he's standing. He's 18 years old, and he's got three buddies that are 17 years old, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. And what happens? He wakes up, and he finds himself face down in the mud, and his buddies are gone. And he catches up to them, and he says, "What did you run away for?" And he said, "We ran away because we were scared." He said, "Did you see anything?" He said, "No, we didn't see anything." So if they ran out, they didn't see anything, what were they scared of? So the Gemara answers, "Afal be the lochazi, mazlai uchazi." Even though they didn't see it, but the makif of their neshama saw it. So there's a part of the soul, there's a very little part of our neshama which is enclosed in our body, which we are actually in control of our thought, speech, and action. The vast majority of our neshama is not mislavish, the word mislavish meaning revealed in our body. It's only makif around it. And that's the godliness which is gets us to want. I mean, see, that's the neshama, that part of the neshama that wants us to get to do the godliness, that wants us to connect to Hashem. Or the aspect of our neshama which is connected to Hashem, which is infinite. Where is that? Where is our yechidah shebe nefesh? Is it up in the sky someplace? We got these little umbilical cords that are attached to us to, you know? This isn't the Matrix over here going over here. This is, you know, which I never saw the movie. I don't know what it's about anyway. So the yechidah shebe nefesh is right here. Because if yechidah shebe nefesh wouldn't be right here, how could a person have mesiras nefesh, which is an expression of yechidah shebe nefesh? It's that the godliness of our soul, which is expressed by yechidah shebe nefesh, which is the connection between us and the infinite of Hashem, is so great that it's not revealed in our body. On a normal circumstances, you're not thinking in terms of the infiniteness of Hashem. But when it comes to self-sacrifice, I got news for you. You're not thinking at all. That's why you can have this expression of the infiniteness of the neshama. Is because the person's limitations have been turned off. Because martyrdom doesn't make sense. Getting yourself killed for a cause makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And how is it that we're able to do it is an expression of this soul which is beyond our cognition. That's how it is that people can suffer martyrdom. So he says it affects us, but it affects us in a concealed way from above. Ki alma diskasi hu lamaila medrega ma'alma diskalia, because the concealed world is much higher than the revealed world. We got an example which we were trying to make it a little bit more understood. This is a really pretty flipped out example in and of itself. You have a person, like for example, we'll do this exercise right now. Okay, I want you to picture a rock in your mind. Okay, got this nice rock. Okay, now, could you describe this rock to me? I'm not asking you to describe it. I said, could you describe it? Could you describe it? You can open your eyes. Can you describe it in great detail?
No.
You could, yeah, you could. If you thought about it, you could probably spend the rest of your life describing the details of this rock that you have in your imagination. You could. Hinei af shekol guf etzem hadavar ahu v'gnava b'teichu teich teichu kula mitzdayer b'daitai. Okay? You have the whole thing. Every aspect and detail of that rock is in your mind. Nisharua kula. You could see it. So what we're going to say is that your knowledge, your das, is encompassing that rock. Do you have a rock in your head? No, you do not have a rock in your head.
Imagine.
You don't have a rock in your head. But we say, you say
rocks.
That we are you're connected to it. The word das, we translate as knowledge. But he said already, don't translate it knowledge. That's back, way back in chapter 3.
Right.
Translate the word das as connected to. That you have a connection to it, but your connection to that rock is very superficial.
Yes.
It's an encompassing way. Your intellect is encompassing that rock. Because you don't have that rock in your head. You could imagine yourself doing it. You'll start thinking, in terms of science fiction again. You could imagine yourself, you could see yourself looking at a rock and having your thoughts envelop this rock. You could draw a picture of it even.
Sure.
Just like projecting. Get those thoughts over there.
Right.
Doing the Uri Geller stuff. Pick up the rock with your thoughts. Never going to happen. Right. This rock, this thing, is now encompassed, enveloped by the person's thoughts. The thing is it's not really in his head. It's just an imagination. And that's what the Alter Rebbe said back in chapter 3. That a person's not using their das. He's gone through the process of thinking about Hashem. With a love of Hashem and a fear of Hashem. Is it involved because he's been thinking about how Hashem fills all worlds and encompasses all worlds. And to before Hashem everything is considered like nothing. But he says if you don't have das, if you didn't connect to that thought, then you don't have that thought. What you have is, he calls it a dimyonish shav, just some sort of idle imagination. So this is this, that you have a rock in your head. It's nothing more than you're imagining you have a rock in your head. You do not have a rock in your head. Just like it is a person is imagining they have love and fear, it's an imagination. They don't have love and fear. Aval Kadosh Baruch Hu, but about Hashem, diksiv ki lo machshav asai machshav asecha, my thoughts are not like your thoughts. How? Because why? Machshav toi. When Hashem, you're talking about Hashem's knowledge. He's going to quote the Rambam coming up right now. Hashem's knowledge, when Hashem knows something. He knows about the thing. He knows the thing. He knows the very inner workings of the thing. It says, Afilu, what's it called? Afilu yitush. Even a small worm in the center of the earth, Hashem has a connection to it. And that connection, he's going to say right now, that connection is the channel for Chayis coming to that thing. Is the thing aware of it? No. That's why it's called Makif, meaning not revealed. L'mashal, kadahar is haluzu. You got the physical world.
The chayas of the energy you're talking about.
Yes.
Exist.
Yeah. Hari yediyasa yizborach makefes kol eva kadaharis. The world is surrounded with Hashem's knowledge. Meaning, the connection that Hashem has is surrounding the entire universe, all 13 billion light years of it. The kalashir v'teich teich on everything which is inside of it. Ad tachtov until the very bottom of the earth. Hakel v'pam amamish, everything in actuality is connected to Hashem. Hashem feels the connection to it, and that connection is the life force behind that thing. Har yidos yediyazu, hi chayas kol oiva kadaharis, kula v'tach v'hisavus in ma'ayin liyesh. And this is what brings the thing into existence, the fact that Hashem feels a connection to it is what brings it into existence. And he says, you're never going to be able to get your head around this concept because the Rambam says this is not something which we can grasp because this is creation. We can't understand how Hashem creates because we are created. And it's only because of this idea that in this physical world that you have this thing being brought into existence the way it is in such a small amount of life, like inanimate or a plant. The only way that you can get it into existence is if there's a tzimtzum. I don't know why there's a dot there, because the dot always confuses me. I always stop at the dot, and it really doesn't belong there in the Hebrew. You know, just put an X through the dot, which will just make you stop there twice. So the dot doesn't. This is the only way in which the godliness can come through is if you have a great and awesome series of contractions and step downs and diminutions of the godliness. That what happens is the godliness now comes down in such a diminuted form that it is revealed in the world. It's mislabish. That it consists in a physical way with limits, to such a thing you could call it inanimate. Inanimate meaning not alive. The only thing is that Hashem's das is totally united with Hashem. Because everything that is Hashem's is totally united with Hashem. We had before, his Ratzon, his Chochmah. So the sense that Hashem has connection with the creation is also rooted in the essence of Hashem. As he explains now, this whole thing now down to the stars, all taken from the Rambam directly. Ki hu hamada hu yadua hu yadeya, because Hashem is the knowledge, the knower, and the known. Ubi yadiyas atzma ki viyachul yadeya kol nivraim. And because he knows himself, he feels a connection to himself, he feels a connection to everything else. Now we also feel a connection to ourselves. Okay, if I ask you right now, you didn't think about it before, but if I ask you to think about your hand, would you feel that your hand is there? Yeah, you feel your hand's connected there. You weren't thinking about your hand a minute ago. But you definitely have a connection to your hand, and you feel yourself connected to yourself. Okay, when you feel yourself walking in the street, you feel that it's you. It's not like, you know, this is not a point of view camera that's right. Walking in the street. No. This is you. You feel it, and you're taking everything in, and all the pieces of information are coming in. It's you that is doing all of this. Mm-hmm. It's our own knowledge, because we have a knowledge of ourselves. Nobody knows you better than yourself.
That's scary.
Okay, but you did a colony of Rhyme. That's actually a comforting thought.
Yeah.
Now, what is our knowledge? What is our knowledge? Our knowledge is points, is bits of a composition of knowledge, of information.
Compilation.
But Hashem's das is not that.
No.
Hashem's knowledge is himself. Hashem is the knowledge. It says that's the first line. Who amada? Hashem is knowledge.
Right, right. He is.
Hashem knowledge. Is the connection, the connector, and the connected.
Right.
Ki kulam nimsayim be'amitosi yisbarach. Everything comes from Hashem's true essence, and we can only say that we have to say Hashem is the true essence, because Hashem is the only thing that didn't start and isn't going to stop, because you know that something didn't start can't stop.
Right.
How are you going to stop it if it didn't start?
Right.
I don't want to see Golbar of him. You can't understand this. That's what the Rambam says. Up there.
You sure?
Unquote of the Rambam.
You sure?
Now, the Rebbe.
I don't get ex nihilo.
You're at a level where if you can understand what it is that you're not supposed to understand. You know, this idea of Hashem's knowledge being of himself, and Hashem knowing himself, and therefore being connected to us. Because we are part and parcel of it. This is what's going to be discussed in the first six chapters of Shaar Yochid V'Amunah. Stay tuned. Now, this note appears many times in Tanya. The first time we had it is in Perek Base. It even says at the end of the note, as we discussed in Perek Base. It's a half a dozen times in this volume. It's all based on the idea that you have the Rambam statement that God is knowledge. Come along the Kabbalists and they say, what are you talking about God's knowledge? God's beyond knowledge. Knowledge is limiting. This is all articulated by the Maral of Prague. Comes along the Alter Rebbe and says, when God wants to be knowledge, God is knowledge. And when God doesn't want to be knowledge, God isn't knowledge. God can do everything he wants. Meaning to say, that where is it that you have something called knowledge, first appears in Das of Atzilus. That's the first instance of when Rambam says knowledge, that God is knowledge, what is he talking about? He's talking about Das of Atzilus. When the Mekubalim are talking about Hashem is beyond knowledge, what are they talking about? Higher than Das of Atzilus.
Das of Bria?
No, higher.
No.
Hashem is not knowledge.
Yeah, before.
To say that Hashem is not limited to Das means before Hashem limits himself to Das. As soon as Hashem limits himself to Das, he becomes Das. That's the point of the note. Kamashikas of a Rambam Zel, the Eskimo Ami Chachamim HaKabbalah, Kamashikas of a Paris Maramak Zel, Vikain Hu Lefi Kabbalah Sarizal, Besayt HaTzimtzum, Vihislamshis Uris, Vikailim Kamashikas Boyle Operic Base. And it all depends on how the godliness is revealed through the various tools of revelation, meaning the Kalim, things which have a use. In this case, when we're talking Kalim of God, they have a use in that they can convey godliness. Our ideas that we're running now, I apologize, but it is getting late.
That's fine.
This knowledge, since it's infinite, cannot be called revealed down here, because this world is bal gvul v'tachlis, because this world is limited, and we can't appreciate anything. So therefore we call this knowledge, this connection that Hashem has with us, makefes usayvevevus. It encompasses us and surrounds us. Meaning to say, the connection that Hashem has with us is not one that we can appreciate. It's not revealed to us. Is it there? Big time. Because we would not be here were it not there. And so what happens is that this knowledge incorporates the whole person's being, and enlivens the person from nothing to something, as will be explained when we get to Shar Yechud V'Emor. To be continued next week, chapter 29.
49.
Yeah, 49, excuse me.